It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Second down and 15. Bajent, plenty of time. Now fires, and it's picked off. Adebo on the interception. Paulson Adebo is brought down at the 46. His team-leading third INT of the year. The Saints with a takeaway in every game this season, and they get Bajent here to take over. Bajent over the middle, intercepted! What a play by Marcus May! Bajent's second pick of the afternoon and the second this season for the veteran May.
Marcus May does a great job of making Tyson Bajent think this play is going to be over and just screams underneath it, undercuts Darnell Mooney. Great interception.
An excellent interception and just slightly behind from Tyson Bajent. If that ball's just a hair more in front, you have action. And it's one of the things he's done really well is progress and be accurate with the football, coming back to number two or three in the progression and just misses slightly behind in that situation over the middle. But a really good play by Marcus May to drive on that football and to secure the ball while he's laid out and come down with the catch. Huge turnover for the Saints.
Bajent steps up over the middle. And it's Adebo again, his second of the day, and the third pick by Tyson Bajent.
Paulson Adebo is having a heck of a day. He's got two interceptions. He forced a fumble and recovered a fumble, and last time down, he knocked away a play as well. He's been unbelievable. Three passes defended. Paulson Adebo, unbelievable job, stalling Chicago Bears drive and forcing another interception by Tyson Bajent.
And now, live on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app, it's Gabe Ramirez.
And away we go, ladies and gentlemen. It is Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score, broadcasting live from the Score Hyundai Studios. Bears lose to the New Orleans Saints 24-17. Bears put up just 3 points in the second half and fall short. Had many opportunities to walk away, try to, you know, put this game into overtime. Unfortunately, just did not. A lot of things going on in this game. A lot of conversations to be had. I'm going to be hanging out with you until 5 a.m. Myself, Tyler Farengall. Tyler, what up, bro? You ready for this five-hour marathon, bro?
Let's do it, man.
I have no choice at this point. We have clocked in. And, of course, you're listening to a Plumbers, because now it is 12-0-something. You're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday, presented by BC Bank and itsnotagameillinois.com. So I'm rocking with you all the way till 5. Then Dustin Rhodes comes in for the pregame at 5 o'clock. Mully and Haw. Got a great show for you. Olin Krutz at 7. DJ Moore at 8. Dan Weeder at 8:40. And then Bernstein and Holmes come on. Anthony Heron, who took care of the post-post show. Now he'll be on at 11. Josh Schrock from NBC Sports Chicago will be on at 12. And then Parkins and Spiegel. I just got done doing Sports Zone on Fox 32 with Mr. Spiegs. And they'll have Kurt Warner at 2:40. Mark Grody at 4 p.m., and then Jalen Johnson, the man who said he will no longer discuss contract extensions with the Chicago Bears, will be on at 5 o'clock to discuss all things Bears Saints. Now, I got to be honest, I'm here to talk to you. You. Yes, you. And you know I want to. Especially my Bears fans that don't live, in the state. Like, Bears fans from out of state, if you're listening on the Odyssey app or online, 670thescore.com, you are who I want to hear from. And the phone lines are open. Tyler, phone lines are open, right? Can I get a yeah? You know, like, people need to hear your voice, bro.
They are open.
How many lines do we have for people to call in?
We have 10 open lines. Fill those up, people.
Look at that. 10 open lines. Well, we've been doing like national broadcast stuff for the last couple of hours. And here I come, live and local for your listening pleasure. And here's the question I have for you. This is what I'm starting off with today. Are the Bears headed in the right direction? 312-644-6767. Now, you watch the game. You've been watching these games. And maybe a couple of weeks ago, I would have said absolutely not. No, they're not headed in the right direction. They don't know what the hell they're doing with the quarterback position. They just figured out that Dante Foreman is a stud, right? What I've been preaching that all year long. You know, the DJ Moore, they can't get him the ball. The defense sucks. Like, I would have been like, man, no. This team is not headed in the right direction. And now here we are some weeks later with the addition of Montez Sweat, with the improved play of the defense. Because to me, that was the key. Coming into the season, I said, if the Bears can have a top 15 defense, then they're going to win some games. Because last year, the defense is what was their Achilles heel. They were the ones that, you know, Justin would be putting up a ton of points and the defense couldn't seal the deal. A game like today, if you would have given Justin Fields 3-4 opportunities like Bajan had at the end of this game, Justin Fields, listen, he hasn't performed particularly well in the last couple of minutes of a game, but I am for certain he would have came through in at least one of those instances. That's just my opinion. But again, I asked the question, are the Bears headed in the right direction? I know you're frustrated. You keep watching these Bears losses. No one expects Tyson Bajan to be perfect. You came in, you did your job, kid. You have four chances. You pulled out one victory. Great, great job. For an undrafted rookie, great job. No one's holding you to the same, like no one's judging you on the same scale as Justin Fields. They're on two different scales, guys. And so, again, though, after I watch all of that, I say to myself, you know what? I think the Bears, oddly, are headed in the right direction. The problem is the moves that the Bears are going to make on the way, right, over the course of the next, let's see, 10 months, right? By the time August starts again, what is that going to look like? It's Gabe Ramirez. I can't be sighing 7 minutes into the show. I got to come out hot. But to be sighing 7 minutes into the show, it lets you know where this Bears team is at. But again, I ask you, are the Bears headed in the right direction? 312-644-6767. The phone lines are open. I'm here for you. So selfishly use this as your launching pad. You want to get on the radio. You want to talk about your Bears. You want to talk about what it is that you saw, what you've been seeing. You know, what is getting you excited? 312-644-6767. Let's go to Wayne out in Lafayette. So, Wayne, like, the question is, are the Bears headed in the right direction? And some people could be extremely pessimistic in this situation, but I ask you, are the Bears headed in the right direction?
Well, Gabe, I tell you what, some of them are and some of them aren't. I tell you, the defense really seems to be heading in the right direction. But the offensive guy, Getsy, if anybody has a good defensive coordinator on the other side, they go in at halftime, they make adjustments. And our guy just doesn't counter those adjustments, doesn't seem to. And it's like we're dead in the water. After somebody makes some adjustments defensively against us, and we just don't know how to come back out of it.
Wayne, do you think it's because, like, because the Bears seem to come out fine, right? I mean,
yeah.
Saw Bajan came down, scored a tutty on the first drive, and then it seemed like the second half he was a different quarterback. Why do you think that was?
I just think that they went in at halftime and they made their adjustments, and I think that. Getsy just sticks with a certain plan, and he doesn't make his own adjustments after they make adjustments against us at halftime. You know what I'm saying?
Do you think he's going to be back next year, Wayne?
I would say 50-50, Gabe. I'd say 50-50, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, some people are up in the air when it comes to Luke Getsy. I would just love for him to, you know, there were some instances, like a lot of people were mad that, you know, like Velus Jones got a look in the fourth quarter. Like Darrington Evans got a call on third and six for a screen pass again after everybody was coming down on him for doing it. But it just, do you think he's too, like, you know, sometimes, Wayne, like we feel like, hey, man, I got all these people talking about the offense. I'm the offensive coordinator. I know what the hell I'm doing. Do you feel like there's a level of arrogance there? Or do you think he really is just trying his best to put the best bit game plan together?
I think there's a big time arrogance there, Gabe. I really do think there's a big time arrogance there. And DJ Moore should have the ball about half the time if he can. And we got a bunch of good weapons on that team, and he doesn't utilize them worth a darn.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Wayne. I appreciate it, and I totally understand. I mean, DJ Moore, 3 catches, 44 yards. It's unacceptable. Let's be very real. I mean, you forced the ball his way, you know, targeted 5 times. Yeah, he had the fumble, whatever. Team sucks. It's like that's not the reason they lost the game. It's because he fumbled the ball. But DJ Moore, 3 catches. I mean, geez, that's tough. And I get it. They're double teaming him. They know Tyson Bagent, you know, is trying to get the ball out quickly. That's why, you know, Darnell Mooney had a good game today. But the team itself, I mean, Luke Getsy, they're. Let's just take a look at some of the drives, right? Like first drive of the game, 9 plays, 75 yards, 3 minutes, 39 seconds results in a tutty. And the plays were good. The Bears want the ball first. That's what they did. But here's what I don't like about Luke Getsy's offense. And here's the reality, right? I don't have the luxury of talking to Luke Getsy like he's my friend. So for me, I only get to judge him and base what I off of what's on the field. So I'm sure there's some logic behind why he did what he or why he did what he did or why he does what he does what he yeah does. But sometimes it's frustrating. Like for example, now granted the Bears scored on the first drive, so I mean, but it still doesn't mean I have to like it. Like the way, how they scored. First play of the game, pass Tyson Bagent to Darnell Mooney. Second play of the game, pass to DJ Moore down the middle. Third play of the game, pass incomplete to the right. It's like, bro. And again, they ended up, you know, scoring fine, right? But did we not see the game plan against Oakland and how it worked?
Establish the run to set up the pass.
A little run, run, pass. It should be like a house track here in Chicago. A little juke. Run, pass. Like, it's frustrating when I see it. And again, I'm sure if I talk to Luke Getsy, I know what he's going to tell me because I've heard him say this in other press conferences. Well, we know that they like getting after this and we wanted to offset that from the very beginning. Right? Something along those lines. Bro, what happened to making the defense adjust to you instead of you adjusting to the defense? Who cares if they know you're going to run the ball on first down? Block properly and get Dante Foreman, the angry runner, out there to handle some business. So Dante Foreman gets his first rush, and what is it? An 8-yard gain. It's like, come on. And then I don't remember what happened there, but I did notice that I've been praising Eberflus for the last couple of weeks, talking about, you know, when it comes to his coaching decisions, it's not like he's burning timeouts in the first half, trying to, you know, get things together like Nagy would do each and every week. But then after that Dante Foreman rush, they burned a timeout. And I don't remember what happened there exactly.
I think it was some confusion in the huddle, and right, they had to, the play clock was going down. If you watch Sunday Night Football, the Bengals had to burn all their timeouts within the first 10 minutes of the third quarter today. Yeah. Something along those lines. Just terrible. Fundamental stuff.
So, of course, Luke Getsy, after Dante Foreman rushes to the right for 8 yards, what does he do after the timeout? Now you got to run it up the middle again. And then what do you do after that? You have your RPO for Tyson Bagent to run for the first. Then Dante Farmer rushes again. And Dante Farmer rushes again. Again, so do you see what I'm saying there? You did three straight passes, and then you did one, two, three, four, five straight runs. You can't convince me that that's a good game plan. You can't convince me that passing the ball three times, oh, we threw them off now. Now they don't know what we're going to do, so running the ball five straight times. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like I said, I mean, it worked. But the only reason it worked was because Tyson Bagent threw a dime to Cole Kmet in the corner of the end zone for 18 yards. Beautiful ball. Spiral was right. Cole Kmet couldn't believe it himself when he got up after scoring that teddy. You get the highlight? I want to hear the play. Pull up that Cole Kmet touchdown. First drive of the game. Tyson Bagent leans back. Happy feet. Lets it go. And I'm going to play this clip from Bears Unleashed, the TV show I do on Fox 32. I'm going to play that for you because we have a clean energy player to watch. Myself, Anthony Heron, Cassie Carlson. We have one player that we're supposed to watch. Who did I pick? Cole Kmet. I said that he got his first completion from Tyson Bagent last week. He was going to build on it. Two dudes that probably think they're dreamy, you know, connecting in real life, not in the dream world. And look, it ended up happening in the first quarter.
Chicago in the red zone, where they are tied for fourth this year in touchdown percentage. Bagent looking deep for Cole Kmet.
Good is this start for Tyson Bagent coming out in the dome down here. It's rocking, and he comes back, and it is absolutely gloved. And gives his man a chance, gives Cole Kmet a chance on the throwback.
This was an ill-advised throw. What an unbelievable catch by Cole Kmet. And he cups it, too. No movement when he hits the ground, tucked up against his shoulder. Wow.
All right, I pulled up the clip from Bears Unleashed. It's going to be coming off my phone. Just because it's 2023 and you just do that. But take a listen to this, what I say here.
Because of it.
And Ryan Poole said he's going to follow Jalen Johnson's lead on that. It is time for the clean energy player to watch. Who do you think will be the biggest difference maker in New Orleans?
I'm going to go with, again, Cole Kmet.
Okay. That's like 3 weeks in a row.
Because you know what? He had like a couple of catches last week. I feel like him and Tyson finally got on the same page. Like, hey, bro, I'm handsome. You're handsome. Like, you throw me the ball. You know, you can do that kind of thing. So I'm going to say Cole Kmet for me.
I think
you know what?
Aha! And who ends up having two tutties today? Cole Kmet. It's like, you know, you guys should watch Bears Unleashed on Fox 32. Again, phone lines are open here. 312-644-6767. Bears lose to the Saints. But I'm curious what your thoughts are. What else can we say about this Bears team? You were watching the game. Did you check out after a while? Was there a level of frustration for you? Like, what were you thinking when Tyson Bagent threw another interception? Like, where was your mind at as a Bears fan? I'm curious. 312-644-6767. The phone lines are open, ready to chat with you about this Bears game, man, because it wasn't pretty. But it almost felt like Corey Wooten, former Chicago Bear, he texted me and he's like, you know, different quarterback, same result. And I was just like, the Bears are going to Bears. This was such a Bears game. Take the lead, make you feel good, and then just collapse at the very end. That seems to be what this team is made of. Bears scored a touchdown, and then what happens? Kick the ball off, and then the offense of the Saints looked weird today. I don't know if they were just overconfident or it just didn't seem like it flowed at all. So they had a nice little four-play drive that didn't amount to anything. Bears get the ball back. And then that's when Tyson Bagent had his first interception. So, again, Lou Getsy coming out. Dante Foreman running the ball up the middle. Bagent has the nice little sneak for 20 yards. They give Tyler Scott. That was a bad one, too. The Tyler Scott end-around. I think Bagent was supposed to chip block the defensive end on the other side, and that ended up as a 5-yard loss. I think it was Carl Granderson that ended up tackling him.
Yep, you're right.
Then it was Tyson Bagent. Nice little pass to Darrington Evans down the sideline. A couple of penalties later. And then Bears got the ball at their own 41-yard line, and then that's when Tyson Bagent's first interception came up. Now, here's the thing with Tyson Bagent's interception. I was looking at his stats, Tyson's, and I really feel like the pressure has gotten the best of him. And when I say pressure, I don't mean the pressure of playing in the NFL, but the pressure of needing to prove that you belong. It's really easy to play when you don't have any, like, you know what I mean? Like, you feel like you're the man, you got some this swaggy confidence about you, and then you come in, no one's like, the expectations are low, and you outperform what anybody thinks you can possibly do. And then you surprise some people. You get a dub, you know what I mean? You get a victory. And then people are like, okay, well, what can you do against decent competition against the Chargers and the Saints? And what were people saying the first two games? Arm strength isn't there. Can't throw the deep ball. They sub him out for Nathan Peterman at the half or before the end of the half so that way he can throw the Hail Mary, right? Well, let me take you through a little game log of Tyson Bagent real quick. Against Minnesota in the second half, which is what most people thought was the most impressive, because he was 10 for 14, 71% completion percentage. How many yards per attempt? 5. Follow the trend here. Second game against the Las Vegas Raiders, 21 for 29, 72% completion percentage. Averaging 5 yards an attempt. Okay? Right in his wheelhouse. That's his sweet spot. He knows what he does well, and it is get the ball out quickly, complete at a high percentage, minimize the turnovers. Week 3 against the Chargers. Completion percentage in the 60s. Yards per attempt, 6 yards now. And what happened in that game? 2 interceptions. Right? So you try to air the ball out a little bit more because you're trying to overcompensate for what people are saying about you. Now, week 4, this yesterday's game against the Saints, he went from 72% completion percentage to 67 to this week, 60. Yards per attempt, 7.3. Interceptions, 3. You see where I'm going with this? I feel like Tyson Bagent was getting out of his own comfort zone. He knew what it was. He stood on it. That's what allowed him to be successful. That's what allowed him to get to this point, very point right here. But then he started hearing people say you couldn't throw the deep ball. You couldn't get the ball on the field. You're not taking your shots. Then he started doing that, but it comes at a cost. A cost being turnovers at the worst moments during the game. Now, that's my assessment. That's just what I think, you know, Tyson Bagent was on right there. You could point to other things, but I don't know, bro. If I'm a guy who I've gotten this far and the opportunity, right, this, even though it's a slight percentage, the opportunity exists that I could take over this starting job. And the only way I'm going to prove it is if I get the ball down the field. Problem is, you know, that nice ball you threw to Cole Kmet in the corner of the end zone, when you're between the 20s, there's a safety waiting back there for that. And Bagent found that out the hard way. 5 interceptions in the last 2 games is, ooh. I mean, imagine, like, what kind of pace you're on for right there. It's tough, tough stuff. But Tyson Bagent did speak to the media, and we'll get to that in a little bit. Get to hear from the QB1 and what he had to say. But again, man, let's be very clear. I can say whatever I want, but I am only here on this radio station from 12 to 5 o'clock to talk to you. I want to be very clear. I don't want to talk about Tyson Bagent to myself for 5 hours. All right. But I know it's hard. That's the thing. It's hard to talk about the Bears today. It's like, what are we even looking forward? Like, what are we feeling good about? It's a Thursday game against Carolina. The only thing anyone is looking forward to is whooping that ass so that way, right, you can get a dub and you can push Carolina further down the ranks so they can stay with that one victory. Because let me tell you something, the Arizona Cardinals, they might pull one off because Kyler Murray is going to come back. So he'll get them a victory. So Carolina won't have to worry about them. The team you're going to have to worry about, maybe, is the New England Patriots with their two little victories. Mac Jones is terrible. Mac Jones is terrible. Ramondre Stevenson, despite putting up good numbers, should not be a starting running back in the NFL. They got injuries on the in the wide receiver room. Like, that's the other that's the only other team. But it doesn't matter. They're going to have either – they're going to end up with Drake May. Drake May, that fits the New England good old boy, you know, kind of vibe right there. They're not taking Michael Penix. They're not taking Shedeur Sanders.
McCarthy.
They're, okay, J.J. McCarthy. I hope that Bill Belichick is smart enough to know that J.J. McCarthy is not that dude. I know, I've had this conversation with a couple of people, but like somebody said J.J. McCarthy might go number one. Are you silly? Did you have you only watched like two college football games your career? Like, what are you talking? J.J. McCarthy? What are you talking about? Anyway, I don't even want to go on that tangent. I'd rather just stick to my Bears and where I'm at. And what I was saying was that I know it's difficult to call up and talk about the Bears. I get it. It's like, what are you going to call up and say? The same thing? Can't talk about Justin Fields because he hasn't played. You're not going to talk about Tyson Bagent because you already know what he is. So what's there to talk about? What are you going to call him and say he's not the guy? We know. Are you going to call him and say he is the guy? Or that we need to give him some more grace? No. You're not going to call and say that. You're going to call and talk about Eberflus? Is Eberflus better than Luke Getsy? This team, man. It's hard, guys. It's hard. I have to go call this post game on Fox. I have to, you know, go on Sports Zone. I got to go on Bears Unleashed and talk, speak highly of the team, the direction that they're headed in. And then I get to come on the score and speak my truth. And here I am. And the truth is, I just want this team to be okay. I just want to watch some, I want to play meaningful football games. And that doesn't even have to be in the playoffs. Meaningful football games just even within the season. Like the game against the Panthers, I wish it was to get the Bears over 500. You know, something like that. Something like I was watching the NFL Network and they could not stop talking about Josh Dobbs, who, if you remember, Tyler, I told you several times, that's who Justin Fields is.
I do have that on record. Yep.
I said, Justin Fields is Josh Dobbs. And so people are high on him because he came in and, you know, he did his thing for the Vikes. But he's a running quarterback. He's mobile. He can complete the passes. And, you know, people are high on him. But after that game, a lot of the analysts on the NFL Network were talking about the Vikings making the playoffs at 5-4 where they currently sit. And I'm thinking to myself, well, damn. I wish the Bears were in that situation. They're 2-7 right now. I wish they were 5-4 heading in to go and play the Panthers so they can be 6-4. I know. Even the thought of the Bears being that far over 500 seems odd. What are we going to do? What are we going to do about this team? What are we going to do about this? The state of the Bears? And then I won't say who, but you know, you start hearing conversations and people are, I get some deep inside information. Obviously you can't say who is from or what it is, but like I got people and we have conversations. Let me tell you something. The conversations we have are far different than whatever conversations we're having on the air, on the record, I should say.
More honest, more open.
And one of the main conversations being had lately is the regret of hiring Eberflus. That it was a financial play. You know what I'm saying? Not necessarily the right one, the best one. But I can't say it enough. Like, I can't see a situation. Somebody asked me, like, do you think Eberflus is going to be it? My father-in-law asked me this. I was up in Grays Lake today because there was no Bears game that I had to do. So I'm in Grays Lake. He's like, do you think Eberflus is going to stick around? I said, I take Ryan Poles to be a very loyal individual. We've seen it with Velus Jones Jr. We see it with Roschon Johnson. We see it with Braxton Jones. We see it with Dominique Robinson. We see it, you know, like you see it with Chase Claypool. They gave him a long leash. So I can't imagine a situation where he's short with Eberflus. To me, it's more so where Ryan Poles says, hey, you know what? I'm tired of the NFL that gets rid of their coaches in a year or two. We're here to build something. And I trust you. And I know you trust me. And we're going to build this together. It's going to take some time. So you have my support. And I think that's where that comes from. So I can't imagine the situation where Eberflus is gone next year. The only way he's going to be gone, this is what I told my father-in-law. The only way that Eberflus is gone is if public pressure mounts and becomes an issue. Like if everyone and their mom is like, yo, that's it. It's a wrap. No more Eberflus. Then he'll do that. That's the only way. Well, what do you think? 312-644-6767. Do you think Eberflus deserves to stick around? Do you think that he deserves to continue? Not just that, not this year, because obviously that's going to happen. But continue moving forward next year, the year after that. Like, do you feel like he deserves that? I want to hear your answer to that question. I also want to hear your thoughts on the game. Bears lose to the Saints, 24-17. What did you think about the performance of the Chicago Bears? And do you think Eberflus is going to be around to see the successes that he's planted? 312-644-6767. We'll take your calls after the break. It's Gabe Ramirez live and local on a Football Monday presented by Plumbers 911 right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Again, they shift their front a little bit here and there, you know, to overload that one side that we were running to the whole time. And that's, again, my hat's off to them. They made the adjustment, and it wasn't as effective as it was. But again, I thought we did a really good job overall during the course of the day of running the football.
We're back live with more Gabe Ramirez on 670 The Score.
Gabe Ramirez, 670 The Score, broadcasting live from the Score Hyundai Studios. And, of course, you are listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and It's Not a Game, Illinois.com. Taking your phone calls. Thoughts on the Bears game. Bears lose to the Saints 24-17. Probably should have been a lot worse than it was, if you really think about it, man. The Bears had some opportunities as of late. I was really surprised at the Saints' choice to go for it on 4th-and-1. I know they were trying to, like, put the nail in the coffin, so to speak. But I know if I was a Saints fan and they missed that 4th-and-1 opportunity, Bears get the ball, I was like, damn. I know the Saints fans are pissed right now. But fortunately for the Saints, they're facing the Bears. And the Bears gone Bears. And that's exactly what they did. But we get the opportunity to talk about it. Phone lines are open. 312-644-6767. Hanging out with you guys till 5 a.m. and ready to chat Bears. So go ahead and get those calls in. As we go out to Rob first, Rob in Oak Park. First of all, Rob, I just moved to Oak Park. Did you know that?
Oh, really? It's a wonderful place. I live right across the old people's home. It's just wonderful, Oak Park. I miss it.
Yeah.
Because I'm not there right now, but that's where I'm from.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I stay right off of Ridgeland. So I'm right over there. I've been there for probably about two weeks now.
Oh, wow. Okay.
The first thing I noticed, Rob, here's the first thing I noticed. My kids went trick-or-treating, you know what I'm saying, on Tuesday. And when I woke up Wednesday morning, there were full-size candy bars on my sidewalk. Kids just throwing candy on the side that they didn't want. That's how rich Oak Park is. They didn't even care about their candy. They didn't want to keep all of it.
Yep. You know, the average wage of people in Oak Park when I was there. Actually, you know, I'm from Oak Park, but mm-hmm. I'm not there right now. But it's like $97,000. That's the average.
Oh, it's way higher than that now. I'll tell you that. If you want to live out there,
I bet it is. Yeah.
Live out there. Rob. All right, talk to me about Matt Eberflus. You know, you said you're from Oak Park. I know you're a Bears fan through and through. Eberflus has been under the gun a little bit this season, but then he got a glowing vote of confidence from Ryan Poles. What's your take on Eberflus?
No, Ryan Poles, he needs to address Venus Jones first and foremost. You see what he did today? No, you made that mistake. Correct it. Get rid of him and give someone else that opportunity. Now, the other thing, am I on here?
Yeah, you're on the air. What are you talking about?
Oh, well, I thought I was still talking to Tyler. Okay, the second thing, I want to get your opinion. Eberflus, he's gone already. The public does not like him. What do you think about Jim Harbaugh?
Yeah.
Who the Bears drafted way back in the day, who won a Super Bowl, coming back to coach the Bears. I want to know your opinion about that. And I think that's all I want to know.
All right. No problem, Rob. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks for that. I think Harbaugh's an interesting situation. And again, before I get to that, I do want to remind you guys, man, we're taking calls. Phone lines are open. We got Tyler Farrengall, man in the phones tonight. 312-644-6767. Taking your thoughts on the Bears. I mean, listen, I think we all want Harbaugh for obvious reasons, right? I mean, the ones that are obvious and that are glaring is that, one, he's a tough-nosed, you know, hard-nosed guy. He's dealt with a mobile quarterback before in Colin Kaepernick. He loves the Bears because he played here, right? And I think these are things that you want. I mention it often. You know, I'm a Bayern Munich fan. That's my German team, for those of you that watch soccer. But Bayern Munich is one of my favorite teams. And the reason why they always have success, at least this is what they feel is the reason why they have success consistently, is that they always bring back coaches and upper management. They always bring back former players to be coaches or upper management. Why? Because they want people that love the organization the way that they do. And so it makes sense to bring back a Jim Harbaugh, right? It's like Ozzy winning the World Series for the White Sox in 2005. He loves that team. It's why he always wants to go back to coaching that team, because he loves that team. That's why AJ wants to be the coach of the Chicago White Sox. Things like that. So Jim Harbaugh, like, yeah, of course I'm here for it. I hope he comes here. It'll be great. I just don't know if Eberflus is going to be shown the door. I mean, it's just going to be tough. Makes sense to me, though. But let's go back out to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. Taking your phone calls. What are your thoughts on the Bears? Do you think Eberflus is the long-term solution for the Chicago Bears? Or is he just a guy that was, you know, a good short-term leader for some young men, and now the roster needs to be turned over to somebody else? Let's go to Mark out in Milwaukee. So I know you're a Packers fan. We talked before. But what do you think about Coach Eberflus?
First of all, I'm going to apologize to you personally because I got a little long-winded last time we spoke. I didn't get obscene or anything, but I apologize to you for that. I'm a Packer fan, 71 years old, but an acutely aware of the Packer-Bear rivalry. So I'm going to speak to you not about the Packers. I will say one thing to you. I told your screener. A number of years ago, the Packers hired a guy as their head coach named Ray Rhodes. Do you remember that, or is that before your time?
Yeah, before my time, but I remember it.
He came from the 49ers, from their success, you know, with Bill Walsh and those guys. He was there first year. He went 8-8 in Green Bay. That was maybe before Holmgren or Abram, and got fired. After 1 year at 8-8, there were issues. In my opinion, and who am I? I'm a novice. You know a lot more than I do. I don't see any reason why Matt Eberflus should be retained. You mentioned Harbaugh. And, yeah, I think he'd be definitely a step up. But I look at somebody like Harbaugh, or I'm just saying like a Nick Saban, or some very prominent college coaches. And as far as money, I think they're making as much money as I don't know. I mean, maybe they give them a piece of the team ownership or something. But they're making a lot of money where they are at Michigan, especially with the endorsement deals now. So, but Harbaugh, there's, I guess, some issues at Michigan going on now. I don't know what's going to come of them. But I don't know financially if there'd be an advantage to him going to the Bears. I understand his loyalty to the franchise. I get all that. But, you know, he's at a winning program. He's got to recruit. But you're asking him to go to a program and basically start over and restructure and rebuild. And I don't know if that's what he wants to do. Maybe so. I understand if they could do it, it'd be a great hire. I got another name for you. Are you familiar with Ken Dorsey?
Yeah, former Niner.
Former Niner, not much as a player in the NFL. He was the quarterback of the Miami Hurricanes during their great run, national champion, then he lost the second one to Ohio State. He's been an OC in the NFL for a long time, currently with the Bills. He was a quarterback. He's working with Josh Allen. And I think if it were me, and I'm no expert, but they haven't done well, the Bears, in hiring with experts the last several hires as head coach either. So maybe your opinion might be as valid or mine as anybody else's. He's an offensive coordinator. He's been successful. I think you're going to need a new quarterback. I don't think you're going to stay with Joe. I wouldn't, especially with the guys that are available now. But I think also, you know, they need the offensive line, maybe a Marvin Harrison Jr. if he's available, because some team is going to pass on him. Maybe, I mean, if Houston or Carolina get the first pick, they're not going to take a quarterback. So a guy like that might be available. But I think Dorsey, being a quarterback, having a lot of experience, might be a really good hire for them. And I really appreciate, you know, you letting me.
Yeah. No problem, Mark. I appreciate it completely. I think that, look, I got to be honest. First, with Ken Dorsey, the offensive coordinator of the Buffalo Bills, I would be weary to hire anyone whose success comes from an elite quarterback. So you're looking at Luke Getsy and you're like to even pose the question, like, oh, do you think Luke Getsy was really good because he was coaching Aaron Rodgers? Like, are you stupid? Of course that's the reason why he looks good. Like, that's just foolish. It's like those people that, like, Phil Jackson was a great coach, but he also had Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant, right? And Shaq. Like, let's be very clear. Bill Belichick, people, you know, we all love Bill Belichick, but he still had Tom Brady, right? So when you're looking at Luke Getsy or you're looking at a guy like Ken Dorsey, again, just I'd be super hesitant to bring in anybody like that. I'd much rather have a guy that understands the Bears, understands the fan base, understands the pain that we've been through, understands, you know, the grit and the nature of being a Chicago Bear. You see Alex Pierce with the Raiders. Look how he's talking to that team. The fire, the passion, right? Understanding he grew up in Oakland. He was a Raider fan from the very beginning. And so his love for the team is different than anyone else's. And that's what's important for the Chicago Bears. Just, again, and I'm not saying, I'm here for Eberflus until he ain't here. That's what I can say. Like, I'm not like, oh, fire that guy. He's horrible. No. It's like, dude, it's hard to be a coach in the NFL. It's hard to take a talentless team to the playoffs or to the top of your respective division. That's hard. You got to give him some talent, and then you got to be able to see what he could do with that, right? So I'm not here for Eberflus being gone, but the next iteration of the coach for the Chicago Bears, for me, most certainly needs to be someone that just cares a little bit more about the organization. It's Gabe Ramirez here on 670, The Score, broadcasting live from the Score Hyundai Studios on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday, taking your phone calls. Bears lose to the Saints 24-17. Tyson Bagent, 18 for 30. Had himself a topsy-turvy day, to say the least. Four turnovers for the young man. Three via interception. One late fumble in the fourth quarter with 2 minutes left to go. And his counterpart, Derek Carr, 25 for 34. 211 yards. Two tutties with a QB rating of 108. What'd you think of the game? What do you think of Eberflus and his leadership of the Chicago Bears team? Let's go back out to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Terry out in Lakeview. Terry, what do you think about Eberflus and whether or not he should stick around?
Hey, Gabe, great to hear you on the overnight. You know, I am not in the Eberflus camp at all for a number of different reasons. Let's just go off of straight numbers just for historical purposes. If you looked at Trestman at the end of 2 years, I think he only won 13 games, which is a hell of a lot more than Eberflus is on track to win after two years. John Fox, I believe, had 9 wins after 2 years, and they stuck with him for a third year stupidly. I think we've seen enough of Matt Eberflus. I don't believe a third year is going to prove anything that we don't already know about. I believe his decision making in terms of in game as well as coaching is at least worthy of some scrutiny. And you think about what's coming next, Gabe, in the draft next year. And I happen to be one of those people, and that you kind of countered that a little bit. I believe it should be somebody who believes in the organization and has the passion of Chicago fans, but I also believe it needs to be an offensive-minded coach because they're going to draft another quarterback. And I think defensive-minded coaches do not do well developing offensive quarterbacks. And the last thing I want to say is look what happened last week in Las Vegas. Mark Davis fired not only the head coach, he fired the general manager. I'm not advocating that, but it's going to cost him, from what I read, $85 million to make that change. And he thought it was worth it. So I think drastic changes need to be made. I'm not advocating for firing Ryan Poles just yet. But when he hired Matt Eberflus, he said within the first hour he knew he was the right guy. He felt like they were brothers. So I don't think he's going anywhere, but I think he needs to.
Thanks for the call, Terry. I appreciate it. I mean, I don't think he's going to go anywhere either. I think he's here. I think Ryan Poles is going to give him every opportunity to do just that, right? To prove that he can be a guy that can lead men. And he said that he is a leader, right? In his endorsement. Right when you put that call on hold, Tyler, pulled up that clip of Eberflus talking about, of Ryan Poles giving that endorsement to Coach Eberflus. Pull that one up because it was telling. I mean, the problem is this, right? And this is the biggest issue we have as fans of any sports team. It's like, we can't operate in the gray area. It is very much complete success, aka a Super Bowl, or your team sucks, let's turn it over. Right? Like, living in the gray area of working towards your team becoming better over the course of some seasons is just something that fans aren't good at. Myself included. I'm not good at that. No, what do you mean? I have to go from 3 wins to 5 wins to 9 wins to 12? Like, what? This is the NFL. Draft some guys, sign some guys, and get your ass to the playoffs. Like, it should be that. Tyler, I was saying, pull up that clip of Ryan Poles talking about Eberflus where he gives that endorsement, you know, that ringing endorsement. I want to play that one. Because I do think it's important to hear that. Because we really need to take the temperature of, like, where we are at as Bears fans. You might be looking at a scenario where Justin Fields comes back, plays next season, and the Bears do not spend one of their 2 first-round picks on a quarterback, which would be absurd. But it is a possibility. And it is because of Ryan Poles. You can see what kind of person he is already. You don't need much. And, of course, he believes in his coach, too.
What I see on every day where I see him address the team and I see his approach through adversity, it is stable, man. And I know in the outside world it doesn't look like that, and I know it looks like we're far away, but this dude comes in every day and just keeps chipping away. He has high integrity. The people that he brings in here, he's done the work to make sure that they're the people they're supposed to be. Again, we hold that standard. If it doesn't follow that and people aren't acting that way, they're not here. But the way that he holds everything down here is incredible for how loud it is, how tough it is. I mean, this team, you could watch them. They fight. I know this past weekend wasn't great, but you can't watch that team and be like, oh, they're going to fold. Most teams fold, and they're not folding. It's been hard. It's been really hard, especially from where we started last year, trying to build this and do it the right way. What I see from him on a daily basis and how he gets his team ready on a weekly basis, to me, I see a grown man that has leadership skills to get this thing out of the hole and into where it needs to be.
Now, if you listen to that, that sounds like someone that's defending their boy. Like, hey, bro, everybody chill out, man. It's a hard job. This guy's a real good leader. But, I mean, that's why I say I don't think Eberflus is going nowhere. All right, let's take one more. Let's go. The name is Geneva from Chicago. Okay. So Geneva, you are you a fan? Are you more of a fan of Getsy or Eberflus?
I am more of a fan of Eberflus, not Getsy.
Okay, do me a favor, first of all, turn on your radio because I want to be able to hear you properly.
Yeah.
So why aren't you a fan of Luke Getsy?
Well, I'm not a fan of Luke Getsy because, number one, he came from Green Bay Packers. So that's the problem right there. Moving forward, the Bears should never, ever, never hire anyone, a coach nor a player, that comes from Green Bay.
Which is never. Fair. What do you think about him bringing over all the players, like a Lucas Patrick, a Robert Tonyan?
Exactly. That's why the offensive line falls apart. I think it's all sabotage. The whole thing with him. I'm not a Getsy fan at all, and I think Coach Flus needs to step up and intervene, stop the plays that Getsy calls, because anytime anything that's working, if the running game is working, we're moving the ball, he's okay, now it's time to throw. Start throwing the ball, that works, then he goes back to running the ball again. So anything that's working, it's like he comes and does the opposite.
Yeah.
And it's ridiculous. It's very ridiculous. So like DJ Moore, for example, he's a really good receiver. Why do you have him catching screen passes? I don't understand. And then he throws the ball to somebody who is not going to catch the ball. They're not going to make an effort to catch the ball. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's frustrating, most certainly. Thanks for the call, Geneva. And, I mean, the offense, it's not an exciting offense. It's not an exciting offense. And you could say, okay, well, is it because of Tyson Bajan? Is it because they have to dumb it down a bit for Justin Fields? Is it because they don't have enough talent? I mean, I don't know. It seems very predictable. There are moments when I'm watching the game and I'm thinking to myself, if I was playing Madden right now, what defense would I call against? And I don't even know their personnel, right? Like, I don't even know the personnel that's coming in. I'm just like, what do I think would be? And majority of the time, I'm right. Picking what it is the Bears are going to be doing. And if I'm doing that as some novice armchair quarterback, I can only imagine what actual defensive coordinators are thinking.
I feel like going through your mind, you're thinking they should be running, but they're not going to run.
Yeah. Here's a screen pass coming right now, something like that. But, I mean, that's how it is. That's how it is. We're going to take more of your phone calls on the other side. I do want to hear from you. Bears lose to the New Orleans Saints. What do you think about Coach Eberflus? Is he the quarterback of the future, or excuse me, the coach of the future for the Bears? Do you think he can continue to pull this team out of the depths of the dungeons of the losers of the NFL and really be the guy that can take them to the other side? Like, do you have faith in Eberflus to do that? 312-644-6767. I want to take more of your phone calls. I want to talk to you. It's Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score.